the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 5:05 here on The Fan. It is a very special Monday because we are out here at Big Al's in Beaverton at the Caddy Shack. And we've got some listeners up here, some Duck fans, some Beaver fans, although I am told more Duck fans than Beaver fans.
Nachos are being consumed. Mm-hmm. Beverages are starting to flow. The mixing has occurred.
Coors Light is out here, $3.50 pints. They've got those $5 22-ouncers, and you get to keep the cup, those aluminum cups.
Yeah.
And we've got Oregon Food Bank here, so all the money that goes towards tickets is going to Oregon Food Bank. We're raffling off some cool Duck and Beaver gear. So we do have tickets at the door if you'd like to come by. Big Al's in Beaverton, and we'll be here for quite some time, about three or four or five more hours, yeah, because Ducks Roundtable is after us.
Yeah, and it's $10.80. For $11, you come in, and we got some drink specials and some niblets. And
you get to meet Will Darkins.
Yes.
Look, let's point out the celebrities in the room. You get to meet promotions goddess Alicia.
Yes.
She's right over there.
Salesman extraordinaire.
Yeah, Kurt Ludwig, who always gets lushy at these types of things. It's fun. We've got Will Darkins, played at Oregon State.
Yes.
Probably the most famous person in the whole room.
White Will Darkins, not to be confused with the college video version of him, which was the black Will Darkins.
Now, you've got Marcus Greaves over there. Marcus played at Oregon State as well.
Yeah, and Wilcox will be showing up at some point to represent the Ducks because he lives right down the road.
Yeah, he'll be here.
And if you want to talk about a man that can mix... Josh Wilcox, ladies and gentlemen.
Big Zook is here. We've got Jesuit football coaches in the house. We've got Adam, the Saints fan.
ODF Fire is here. I don't know who ODF is, but apparently their fire department's
what is
here.
What is that? Old Dominion Fire Department? We should know that.
Are you currently raking the forest, and why aren't you?
Oregon Department of Forestry.
Yeah, look at him. He's not even raking right now. He doesn't even...
He's here drinking whiskey.
I have no respect for you and your inability to rake forests.
So,
Quit drinking and start raking.
Good times. $10.80 at the door. We're upstairs in the Caddy Shack, Big Al's in Beaverton, and we're here for our Civil War mixer, which we do the Monday before the Civil War every year. The 122nd meeting, I think, is coming up on Friday.
This is not our 122nd Civil War mixer, though.
Mm-mm.
That would be some sort of record.
Yeah, we used to do this at a really nice steakhouse.
I think we're working on like maybe 9 of these. Yeah, we had a chalk talk. There was a grease board there.
They're different every year.
I was drawing up plays and designs back in the Chip Kelly days.
Now it's just nachos and Coors Light.
It's really the way it should be. I don't feel like drawing on a grease board.
Let's get to the Hot 5 and 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Number five.
Well, the Redskins need a new backup to... their new quarterback, Colt McCoy.
Yes, because their starting quarterback got Theismann. Did you see the kind of the creepy, like, 33 years to the date?
Yeah.
Even the score ended up being the same.
Pretty weird.
It was very strange. And yeah. Theismann was at the game.
Redskins signed Mark Sanchez. Now, what are you laughing at?
I cannot get over the fact that Colin Kaepernick cannot get a job in the NFL. And yet Nathan Peterman's getting workouts, and we've now re-signed Mark Sanchez.
Well, Skins offensive coordinator Matt Kavanaugh was quarterback's coach with the Jets when Sanchez was there. So he gets signed. Alex Smith, they're saying, with the broken leg, is out at least 6 to 8 months. Other NFL quarterback notes, the Bucs are going back to Jameis Winston against the Niners.
Yeah, they did that. Winston played in the second half of that Bucs game.
The Jags are sticking with Blake Bortles, even though they suck. Marcus Mariota is hopeful for Monday night. They're playing the Texans. He has a stinger.
Yeah, one of the more painful things you'll ever have, by the way.
And there's a chance that Joe Flacco plays for the Ravens against the Raiders. The upstart Oakland Raiders. 1-0 since last week.
With a little confrontation on the sidelines, huh? Gruden and Carr getting into it.
I thought they overplayed that.
They did.
It happens. It happens all the time.
Tom Brady
and Josh McDaniels do it. They're like, oh, look at the competitiveness. Yes.
The Raiders do it. People are looking for reasons for the Raiders to suck. And you really don't need to look very far because they do suck.
If the NBA season were only as long as the NFL season, the Blazers would be the number one seed in the West playoffs. They are 11-5 through 16 games, and they are percentage points ahead of the Warriors. The road trip continues tomorrow in New York. Yes, the Knicks, if you're wondering, still suck ass. They are 4-13. Damian Lillard denies a report by Bleacher Report that he had a pact with owner Paul Allen that Allen would find him a suitable trade if he ever wanted out of Portland.
Yeah,
he has denied that.
Yeah, he's claiming false.
That's not good.
No,
we need to talk about that.
I know you wonder if there's anything to that. I mean, is that like a must lie? Even if it was in place, you have to deny it.
Blazers dismantled the Wizards on Sunday. Washington season is spiraling to the point where now there are reports that they are open to trading both John Wall and Bradley Beal.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe Wall's contract may be hard to move, but Beal, who's one of the better two guards in the league, could be on his way out.
Current Heisman odds have Washington State quarterback Gardner Minshew fourth behind Tua Tagovailoa, Kyler Murray, and then Will Greer. Minshew's at 33-1, so maybe they all four get invited to New York.
I hope he ends up just getting to New York because he's not going to win it. Right? Kyler Murray or Tua are going to win it. It's more than likely
Tua's going to win.
Tua's going to win. Although, look, Kyler Murray's having a hell of a year.
Did you see his stats? Murray has the exact same stats as Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
In the exact same number of games at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Kyler Murray's having a ridiculous year.
Yeah, so, but then go look at Tua.
Minshew has no chance of winning. I just feel like the season they've had, he deserves to be in New York. And I hope they don't get clipped in the Apple Cup and then he ends up getting shortchanged and not getting to go out to New York.
The Cougs are favored in the Apple Cup for the first time since 2006. That game is Friday. The Ducks are two touchdown favorites over the Beavers. That game also Friday. Mario Cristobal saying today C.J. Verdell is good to go. Penei Sewell remains out, and they'll know on Steve Jones' concussion tomorrow.
And by the way, I think the Cougs, three and a half point favorites from what I saw early on in the Apple Cup.
Yeah, field goal. Couldn't ask for a better Monday night football matchup tonight. It was originally slated for Mexico, but they can't get their S together, so they moved it back to L.A. due to field conditions. The Rams hosting the Chiefs.
Everything you could want, right? I mean, we're all going to agree New Orleans is the best team in football. This is 2-3. Two dynamic offenses. Interesting enough, there's talent on both sides of the defense, but neither side can play defense very well. But both sides can rush the quarterback, and you should get ample chances to rush the quarterback in this game.
If you're wondering what you're going to get for Thanksgiving games this year, the three will be Chicago at Detroit. The Skins and Colt McCoy will be in Dallas, and then the Saints will host the Falcons.
I want you to wrap your head around the fact that if Dallas wins that, they're in first place in the NFC East.
Number one.
And number one today is that the Mariners, this happened right before our show, the Mariners have traded their ace, James Paxton, to the Yankees for three players, including Justice Sheffield. Now, Justice Sheffield is a left-handed pitcher. He's the number one prospect in the Yanks organization. He's the number 31 prospect overall in Major League Baseball. He's only 22, and he was drafted in the first round by the Indians. Cleveland dealt him and Clint Frazier to the Yankees in the Andrew Miller deal, which was a couple of years ago. So the Mariners deal Paxton to the Yankees. They get Justice Sheffield. They also get the Yankees' number 22 prospect. He's a right-handed pitcher named Eric Swanson. He's a little older, age 25. He was in AAA last year. Had a pretty good year. Also, outfielder Dom Thompson-Williams to Seattle. He was a fifth-round pick last year and is a home run hitting outfielder. Hit 22 home runs in A-ball this past season.
So, I mean, at this point, when the report surfaced, what, 10 days ago or so, that the Mariners were open to trading whoever and maybe going through a rebuild, one would think by dealing, you know, the best arm you have, a true frontline starter, that this would be the first of what may end up being an offseason fire sale. And I don't think the Mariners necessarily are upset that they dealt Paxton, but it sounds like some of the reaction, A, you're pissed off that it's the Yankees, and it doesn't seem like that big of a haul for what is a, when healthy, one of the better arms in the American League.
And you have to think that they're not done. This is only the beginning of the Mariners' fire sale.
But this is the guy, in theory, that you would think would garner some of the most attention. And, yeah, you did get one high-level prospect. But a lot of people are saying that maybe the Yankees weren't even that high on Sheffield, which is why they were willing to deal him. And this doesn't seem like the sort of haul that makes you feel good about the rebuilding process.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the weekend that was in college football, and then we'll check in on your Portland Trailblazers coming up. It's 5:15 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, now we have canines in the house at Big Al's.
Service animals, or is this a fake service animal? What are they? Comfort companion dogs?
You've met this animal. See that?
I remember that.
There's the picture.
That thing's adorable. He's grown up, though.
We are here at Big Al's in Beaverton. We're upstairs at a place called the Caddy Shack.
Yes.
Which is our own private mixer going on here, so for the Civil War.
Come in the front door, Big Al's in Beaverton, climb, and you'll find us.
Will is working on his stand-up, and so far, not so good, but
there's a new set coming. It's a little patchy at times, but it's a work in progress.
See, I see Dirt Johnson now in
the
house.
Well, he's got a round table later.
Yes, he does, and so folks are...
filing in.
Nachos and
plenty
some
of
other...
time to come on by. We'll be here till what, like at least 9?
I had some spinach dip. It was delightful.
How was that?
It was good. Very good.
You can't go wrong with a solid artichoke spinach dip.
So we talked earlier about the Ducks win over Arizona State, rather uninspiring, and a lot of Duck fans have opinions about that. But the bottom line is they are 7-4. Ho hum. Going into the Civil War with as big favorites. He's probably going to win 8 games and head to a very uninspiring bowl game against BYU and probably lose because you don't care.
No, you should beat BYU. BYU's terrible. I don't know if you've seen.
You know what, though, man?
I don't know if you've seen BYU play, but they're not good.
But this has happened before.
It has happened
Where Oregon before. Goes into a bowl game, they're thinking bigger, and then they end up going to some crappy-ass bowl, and it's BYU, and BYU cares, and Oregon doesn't, and then what's the final score?
It is true, because half of bowl games and the lesser bowl games is who wants to be there.
That's right.
Right? There is
so hopefully.
Plus, BYU doesn't go out and get all drunk, and so that's an advantage for them, too, because half the other teams are hungover when you go to these bowl games. But I think it's when you look at Oregon at this point in the year, it's shame on Oregon fan and shame on me too, because whether they beat UCLA, they beat Arizona State, it's like it's not good enough. We want them to win with style points. We want them to look better when they're winning. And the fact of the matter is, this is a very average to below average conference, and you're a very average football team. And average football teams, you're happy with wins. It's just that I feel like there's been a standard set, and people thought after that Washington game, right, that Oregon was back, and so it's no longer just enough to win. If you're an Oregon fan, I think you should be happy that even if it was an ugly win, you found a way to beat Arizona State, because that game easily could have gone the other way with the way you played in the second half.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like a lot of Pac-12 games could go either way this year, and Oregon's found a way to screw up a couple of them, and they've found a way to win a couple of them as well. It's just kind of the way the league's going.
Well, you said it. Arizona State and Oregon are the same team.
That's the same team. It seemed like it.
Nothing spectacular, but they're not bad. They've got some talent, but there's holes elsewhere. They're sloppy at times.
I just think they're
average. It's an average football team.
Yeah, they need Justin Herbert to come back. That would be huge.
Yeah.
And two, I think they need to make a change at offensive coordinator, although the sentiment growing is that they probably will not.
No, they're not.
And
that
sucks. I think they should. But at the same time, I'm not going to be so hard on them. It's like, they had a couple of down years, really, really down years. They won 4 games 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? And so to say that all of a sudden this new coach is going to come in and should win 10 in his first year, and I know they had an easier schedule. I know the Pac-12 isn't that great, but I just don't think that's realistic, particularly with the depth. Bartu talks about this all the time. It's going to take time to build it back up. And I think, I understand the criticisms and the frustrations. That's what goes with being what you think is a big-time football program. Sure. These guys are big boys, Arroyo and Cristobal and these guys.
Sure.
They know it.
And they know what they're doing right now isn't good enough.
They know that. I just think it's going to take...
Cristobal will defend his guy. But at the end of the day, when they sit in meetings, he's not happy with what he sees in the second half of that football game.
I just think it's going to take a couple of years. And so as long as your expectations are a little bit more measured, I think you can look at this, what Oregon has done, and go, yeah, you know, not the best. Probably should have more wins based on the schedule. But at the same time, it feels like it's on much more stable footing now. The problem with this past weekend in college football, at least from my perspective, is that that's like the best game to talk about. Give me another talking point from the weekend of college football.
Well,
it was some middle of the road Pac-12 game between Oregon and Arizona State.
Well, I mean, we had if you want to stick in the Pac-12, right? You had Utah finally winning the South. And that's saying something.
What the hell happened to Colorado?
They didn't shoot them. So, well, they got their coach fired is what they got.
But what happened to them? Like, weren't we all hot and bothered about them for the first six games?
When Chenault went out, their offense kind of went with it, and they kind of imploded. And they were in some games. I mean, I went to the Colorado-Washington game. They were in that. So I think when they lost by far their best player and really one of the more dynamic players in all of the country, that certainly hurt. And then they got into the meaty part of their schedule, and they had a lot of those close games. You mentioned with Oregon, they found a way to screw some up, found a way to win some. Colorado just found a way to screw them up and didn't find ways to win close games, but they were in some of those and couldn't do it. And so McIntyre is out now, and they'll be looking for a new one. The Ohio State game was interesting. If you want to go down that, it wasn't necessarily a well-played game, but it was interesting. West Virginia was an entertaining game, kind of back and forth. So there were.
How about my Jayhawks?
They played tough.
They dropped 40.
They were competitive, right, against Oklahoma.
40, and now I have less miles.
How many did
the train can't be stopped?
How many did Oklahoma score against them?
55.
Okay, because I said they'd score 60. So you know.
No, you said you asked me over under 69. I think you might have even said 70. And I said under, and I was right because Kansas is an upstart. They're not any good, but. What are they, 3-8?
Something like that.
Yeah, they're 3-8 now, and we're ecstatic. I'm not kidding.
Really?
That's how bad it is. Yes.
Well, you got less.
They actually hung around at Oklahoma.
And you had Les Miles, who only had two strokes in the middle of his press conference today.
Strokes aside, the championship window has been moved up
been bumped.
From 2078 to 2041.
So Les,
that, sir.
So Les Miles, when he's like 90 years old.
That, sir, is exciting.
Bill Snyder, Les
but it
Miles.
Was, I don't know. It just wasn't a great weekend.
No,
although
it
Michigan almost, I mean, they really struggled with Indiana.
Yeah.
But they won. So look, the playoff, the college football playoff is looking pretty set.
And unfortunately for Washington
the
State.
The only thing Michigan can't lose to Ohio State, but if they don't lose to Ohio State and they are favored to win that game,
and if you've watched,
you never know.
If you've watched Ohio State play, you got to think that there's no way they beat Michigan.
It's Alabama, Michigan 1-4,
yeah,
and it's Clemson, Notre Dame, which would be a good game 2-3,
yeah.
That's what it's looking like.
And unfortunately for Washington State, it's looking more and more like regardless of what happens, you're going to have a real tough time getting in. And you were kind of hoping that, and I guess I mean you can get some stuff, but you need the doomsday scenario because unfortunately, even if Clemson loses a game, if Alabama loses a game, they're still getting in over you. So you basically have three spots already sewn up. Notre Dame's not losing to USC. Clemson and Alabama can still probably lose a game and get in. The nightmare scenario is that you could have Georgia and Alabama get in, and you're still dealing with Oklahoma that's ahead of you that you're not going to be able to leapfrog.
I mean, if Georgia beats Alabama, is there any doubt Alabama gets in?
No, they get in.
Yeah, so they're both getting in.
They're both getting in. So that's – for Washington State, you need a lot of help. And
hey,
so
look, here's what's going to happen. If they win the Apple Cup, they're going to go play Ohio State – in the Rose Bowl, and that's going to be sweet.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, like, that's
– I mean, it sucks.
That's great.
It sucks because if you're Washington State, I still go back to it, the USC game was in your hands. You were the better team that night. You got screwed out of a first and goal on that horrific non-targeting call. And then the damn left guard falls down on the field goal. He literally fell down on his face, and the guy jumped over him and blocked the kick. Otherwise, you're undefeated, and we're talking about Washington State in a completely different way. But, you know, Washington State still has to finish this thing off. You got to beat Washington, and you got to beat Utah. How about Utah, by the way? Congratulations to Kyle Whittingham, who I really like, and I like the Utah program. I love the fact that even with the adversity they faced, you want to talk about injuries, they lost 80% of their offense when Huntley and Moss went down. They still found a way to win the South. And how about for the third year in a row? For all this talk, right, Stanford and Oregon, you know, over the dominant stretch they had, this is going to be the third year in a row now that the Apple Cup will decide the Pac-12 North. And I've said it, I think Washington just has the scheme and the players that have given Washington State fits, and I still think they have the talent to do it this year. But if Washington State is, if ever there's going to be a year where they should get Washington, it should be this year, because you watch those two teams play, Washington State has been the better football team, and Washington's offense doesn't look that good right now. Washington doesn't have a dominant pass rush. This is setting up for Washington State to get over that hump, and yet I still have that pit in my stomach that says that the Cougs are going to have a Chris Peterson problem.
All right, text the Better You Today text line 55305 with your thoughts. Did Damian Lillard have an agreement with Paul Allen to trade him if he wanted out of Portland?
That's the report.
We will get to that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Hey, a little rumor was floated out this weekend by Bleacher Report.
Which means it's 100% true.
Could be true. Might not be true.
Could be lunch meat. Could be peaches. No one knows what's in the can. I do love anonymous reports, though.
Yeah, this was just sort of mentioned in passing. It was a Bleacher Report article about what the Lakers are going to do now that they have LeBron James.
Go get Kevin Durant.
I mean, a lot of people think that it's going to be Durant and Anthony Davis playing with LeBron.
Well, yeah, the Lakers all have like one. Everyone they signed is on a one-year contract, and they can clear the deck for two more players.
They're going to get some studs in there.
Kawhi Leonard.
And I do think Durant's going to go there. I think Durant's going to leave Golden State.
Well, you imagine if you put Durant and Kawhi. By the way, anyone doubting how good Kawhi Leonard was, has he now reminded, like everyone at the, oh, I don't want him. San Antonio's better off with that. No, Kawhi Leonard's pretty good.
Who said that?
There was this notion that, like, he was a baby and he was a malcontent and you're better off without him. Yeah, Kawhi Leonard, last time I checked, really good at basketball.
Well, one of the names that came up in that article was Damian Lillard. You know, I know that, who's that guy, Bill Simmons?
Yeah.
He has floated this out before that Lillard had his eye on playing with LeBron in L.A.
And LeBron's been very complimentary about Dame.
He has, and I think that you would be fooling yourself if you didn't think players didn't look at this and talk.
Sure.
I mean, they definitely do. It doesn't mean Lillard is going to just up and leave, but these guys – this is the whole league. Like, the inner circle of the league and what they talk about is much different than what fans and we talk about. And those guys are all talking to each other, and they all want to play. Let's put it this way. They all talk about, you know, how to mix and match and who they want to play with that they think would be good and the guys that they know. And, you know, it all started with LeBron in Miami, and, you know, it's just the league. That's the way it is.
Yeah. And players recruiting others. That's how Kevin Durant supposedly ended up in Golden State, right? Was people reaching out to him, and whether Chris Paul, the whole super team thing. There's an idea now that, you know, GMs aren't the end all to be all when it comes to putting together teams. It's about personal relationships.
Well, and these players force their way into situations. Yeah. I mean, Chris Paul did that.
Yeah. Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, this is the way it is now, and it's interesting that this report surfaced, and I'll read you exactly what they wrote in Bleacher Report, but I feel like there's got to be an inkling of truth to this, and the only reason I feel that is because this is the way NBA stars operate.
Well, it seems very odd that it would just randomly get made up and thrown out there in the middle of an article.
Well, how do you know it's made up?
That's my point.
Person could have heard that. I mean, who knows if it's true or not, but the idea that this would happen, what I'm about to tell you, is not far-fetched.
No.
Because this is the way NBA stars operate, and I think that there's this fallacy that Damian Lillard, as loyal as he is and as good of a guy as he is, does not think like the rest of NBA stars about who he wants to play with and where he may want to go if things don't work out in Portland, and that's insane.
Yeah.
He is thinking about that. They all think about that, And so here is what Bleacher Report wrote. Quote, it's worth keeping an eye on players such as Trailblazer Damian Lillard, who's been loosely linked to the Lakers via the rumor mill. Lillard had an understanding with the team's late owner, Paul Allen, that if a time came when the guard wanted out, the franchise would try to facilitate a move to his liking. Lillard hasn't made that request, and it's unclear if that verbal agreement still holds. Given that Lillard is under contract until 2021, general manager Neil Olshey should feel no obligation to gift wrap his best player for the Lakers to help James win titles in Los Angeles. Why would he?
Well, and Olshey has addressed this rumor. Remember, he's the one that came out and said LeBron doesn't get to pick his team. It doesn't work that way.
But he kind of does.
Well,
because if he, here's the thing is, he can say that all he wants. But if Damian Lillard gets to the point where he's like, man, I am 30 years old. I have been here. I have done my best. I've given everything to this franchise, and they're not putting enough around me. Yeah. I do want to go play with LeBron. It's L.A. I have a brand. I'm a big brand. My brand can grow down there. It is time. If he thinks that, and that's not far-fetched, Neil Olshey can do nothing about that.
No, but it's 3 years off.
Oh, well, it could be, or yeah. It could be tomorrow. All I'm saying is that when that comes, Neil Olshey has no leverage. He's got to make that move, which is interesting that – So they do kind of dictate who they play with. Now, it's not – they can't just hand pick and say, okay, trade me this guy and trade me that guy.
But you have to wait until the end of a contract because that's what the point of that is. They'll say he doesn't have to do anything because he's under contract until 2021. The problem is that
if Lillard wants out tomorrow, you're just going to sit and hold on to a guy who doesn't want to play here? And that's not going to happen.
No.
But the players control this.
Yes.
And the GMs really have very little say – if the player truly wants it. Like Chris Paul, he was out of there.
Yeah.
He was out of L.A.
Yeah.
What's that GM going to do down there? So the best he can do is like, well, I guess I'll cut my losses and send him where he wants to go and try to rebuild it that way. And by the way, the Clippers, they're not a bad little team.
Now, we have seen two guys, like what, Kawhi Leonard and Butler. I mean, both – I mean, Kawhi Leonard shut it down and Jimmy Butler blew up the Timberwolves and was like, no, I don't want to be here. The nice thing
– I think it's interesting – Go ahead. Finish up. I'm sorry, I didn't cut you off.
No, it's just if you look at Lillard, to me this is the scenario of which you're playing doesn't seem far fetched. But to me, this is 2 to 3 years out. This is I'm in my 30s now. I'm frustrated, and we keep getting bounced in the playoffs. You know, you lose in the first round another 2 years. Yes, I see that playing out right now. No, I think there is absolutely nothing to this whatsoever right now.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is, so he's 28. So yeah. Lillard will be 29 July of next year.
Yeah.
I mean, he is no spring chicken,
no.
Man. He is in his prime right now.
And he's playing that way, and they're in first place.
Absolutely. They're very good. But, you know, and this is something we can save for later. We can talk about, well, plenty of weeks and months to talk about this. But to me, they're no different when it comes playoff time. But right now, everybody's excited. They're the one seed, and that's good. But he met with Paul Allen twice, privately. By the way, no Neil Olshey.
Yeah.
Like, Neil Olshey, I know, desperately wants to control this, but was it
once, and then there was a reported second one?
There were – yes, you're right. There was one for sure,
yeah.
And then the second one I don't think was ever confirmed, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they had that line of communication.
Yes.
Which is important, your star player and your owner. And now that Paul Allen has passed, who knows what stands, right? So it's probably, you know, that's the biggest thing is that Paul Allen is now deceased, and so it's like if they had an agreement, all
gone.
Bets are off.
And probably within the next year or so, the team is sold.
But I do not think that, as a matter of fact, I believe that it's very possible that Damian Lillard went into that meeting saying, look, man.
I'm going to give everything I got.
I will give you everything that I have, and I need to know from you that you are giving us everything you can to make us better, and let's do this. Let's do this together.
Yeah.
I, in my heart of hearts, I'm certain that that happened.
Yeah.
But what this is alluding to, and it may be completely made up.
Because Damon said it's false,
but
it's a must-lie situation.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe what he said on it. He has to say that.
Yes.
The alternative to that is, hey, if there ever comes a time, so I'm going to give you everything I have, but when there comes a time, when it's not working out, or if it's not working out, and I want out of here, I need to know from you that you aren't going to screw me.
Wouldn't shock me.
Why is that far-fetched?
It's not.
And I think that happens with any player, star player, who has that line of communication with his owner. I think that that would happen in 99% of those relationships.
And I would hope that Blazer fan would be reasonable about this. That to me, if I'm a diehard Blazer fan, and like Damian Lillard has been everything you could possibly want in a star, from community outreach to what he's done on and off the floor, the guy has been an absolute gem, and he plays his ass off. He gets better every year. If Lillard in 3 years at the end of his contract, if Portland keeps getting bounced in the first round and they're not going anywhere, I wouldn't begrudge him one bit if Lillard said, hey, I'm 30, 31 years old. I've got 3 or 4 prime years left. This isn't going to happen. I need to go try this somewhere else. I wouldn't boo and hiss that guy. Boy, I would give him a big old hug, a tip of the cap, and say thank you for 10-plus years here in Portland and everything you did for us.
All right, text a better you today. Text line 55305. Coming up next, an interesting stat from Week 11 in the NFL that kind of blew my mind as I watched football yesterday. We'll get back to the NFL when we return. We're out here at Big Al's in Beaverton. It is 546, Civil War Week here on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, one other thing from the NFL before we move on to the club. We're out here at Big Al's in Beaverton. How about this Civil War mixer?
Yes.
It's pretty good. Will Darkins is even starting to resonate with the people.
I'll tell you, Will is he's brought the crowd to life here.
He has,
It started out a little rocky. The offense was a little rough in the first half. Second half adjustments were made. And Will right now he's moving the ball real well.
And you know what the thing is too, man? Will, I appreciate the effort. I mean, that dude, he was basically begging him to just say something.
He was grinding.
Just, hey, will you guys just pretend like you're excited?
Can I tell you that one of the more
– And they did.
Do you go to a lot of stand-up comedy?
Some.
Some?
Yeah.
There is nothing –
I love stand-up comedy.
I do too. Love it. There is nothing more awkward in this world. I've never – tried stand-up comedy, but when you're sitting in the crowd and the comedian is bombing, oh my Lord.
Not good.
And he's up there and, you know, he's got like 10 minutes to fill and it's not going well and it's crickets. Like, you feel so bad for him, but at the same time you're like, he's awful. And so you can't even fake laugh. It's one of the more painful things to watch when you see someone on stage and they're bombing.
Well, what are you going to do? Like, start cheering for him, like do a chant. Like,
I know, and then that makes it even worse.
Will Darkins. And that doesn't
There's
work.
Nothing you can do. It's a man in the middle of the ocean, and you can't throw him a life raft.
You can fake laugh. but even that, most people are just like, yes. I'm just going to eat these nachos. Well, anyway, I saw this. Okay, so.
Are you talking about the Redskins stat?
Yeah. Did you see that? Do you know what
Blew
I'm talking about?
My mind.
Yeah, so I was watching the Redskins game. And they were playing the Texans.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty good game.
Yeah, ended up being a real good game.
Alex Smith's leg broke in half.
That's not so good.
Which was horrible.
Yes.
And it's one of those you don't want to see. It's like, flimsy leg.
Yeah.
And they showed, so then Colt McCoy comes in, and the Redskins take the lead.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah. With, like, no offensive lineman.
Colt McCoy.
Adrian Peterson, like, by the way, this is like a quiet little story. Adrian Peterson is having a nice year in Washington. Like, he was washed up, right?
No, he wasn't.
And then
he never was.
He just he had an offense that didn't fit in New Orleans.
Yes.
Arizona was a gong show.
Yes.
And then he ends up in Washington, and they're paying him like $1 million.
Dude, that guy's a freak.
He's one of the best values in all of the NFL.
So the stat that they showed once the Redskins took the lead from the Texans in the third quarter was that was the first lead change in a Redskins game this season.
That blew my – and it happened twice.
How can that be?
There was two lead changes they had in that game, and they had either had started – you know, they scored first and held the lead the entire time, or the other team scored first and held the lead the entire time.
The whole time.
The whole year.
For 9 games.
I don't
know.
9.5
games.
Like, I don't know if that's ever happened before. Like, I need Elias to tell me, like, what's the longest that's ever gone on.
And they sort of glossed over it.
Yes.
And they were just like – and I was like, whoa.
Yes, I wanted
context. I rewound it. It was like, wait, tell me more. What does that mean?
I would have never bought in a million years that you could get that far into an NFL season and not have a lead change. And it's not like the Redskins are a dominant team. They're winning close games. Like, how –
Weird.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And by the way, did you get fooled too? That was on the Red Zone channel. They get fooled on the 63-yard field goal.
No. I was not fooled.
I thought it hit the crossbar, and then it turned out it was like 5 yards short.
Oh, one of those. Yeah, those are hard to.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's the other thing. Like when
on TV, those are
on
hard.
On TV, I had never have any idea if a kicker's good or not. Like there's, you're like, I guess it's good. No, wait. Oh yeah, no.
Yeah,
good.
Sometimes they'll go like, okay, so there was a last second kick. Who is it? Was it Denver? Yeah, the Denver kick. That kind of looked like it was going to miss.
Yeah.
Not the first one because they iced him.
Yeah.
And then the second one, he almost missed it.
And then there's like some English that pulls it. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, you have to kind of sit and wait. It's like, I think that went in. But then you have to wait and look at the refs down below.
It's the only way. But yeah, the kick on
especially the ones that are short.
The kick looked like it, from 63 out, it looked like it hit the crossbar. And they were like, oh, it hit the crossbar. I can't believe it. And then they showed the replay from another angle. Yeah, it was like 5, 6
yards.
Not even close. Yeah. Like landed at the start of the end zone.
One other NFL thing. Do we like those team celebration picks? You know, when somebody does something, they all run into the end zone.
Yeah.
And then the teammates run into the end zone. Yeah. And then they do their little bits. Do we like those? Are we getting tired of those?
I get that the celebration thing has to happen. And I don't know. I think the celebration thing at this point
is a little much.
It's a bit much.
A little much.
The choreographed ones. What happened to just like being excited, like spiking the ball?
How about this? Emmitt Smith used to just hand the ball to the official.
Yeah, that was.
Act like you've been there before?
Yeah, that doesn't happen
Come
anymore,
on, bro.
What's about building a brand?
That's right.
You know, and you got to. Well, honestly, like you look at like Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
There's millions of dollars to be had in sponsorships and building your brand. And
get it.
And when you score and you flip the ball to someone,
you know
it,
what,
it doesn't work. Like DeAndre Hopkins, right? DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the NFL, and yeah, no one's ever heard of him. And you know, but if you get a crazy haircut and you do some dances or you pelvic thrust someone. Next thing you know, you're on the, you're selling sneakers and sweatshirts and on the cover of Wheaties.
What's that ad? Antonio Brown's dancing around in some commercial.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Remember what ad that's for.
Yeah, both of those guys. And not that they don't deserve it. Those guys are two of the best receivers in the NFL. But
if you're really good, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Whereas like some, and DeAndre Hopkins is really good.
Yeah.
But you look at a guy, I don't know, just some chump who scores a touchdown. The celebration can be fun, but it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yes.
Right? Like, you got to be a good player to get those.
Yes, but you can be a good player and be anonymous. And I think a lot of guys are onto this. I think, like, the Jalen Ramsey thing this offseason. Remember Ramsey did the GQ interview and he ripped everybody? I think Jalen Ramsey took the – I don't think he believes that. I think Jalen Ramsey is trying to pull a Richard Sherman. Look, there's a lot of really good corners in this league that are anonymous. And Richard Sherman followed the Deion Sanders thing of – look, Darrell Revis did this. He was doing Foot Locker ads. You can be a quiet, really good corner in the NFL and make your money, or you can be a loudmouth corner, have some controversy, and end up with a bunch of national ads. And I think guys realize that, and I think some of this is an act. I think some of it is a marketing tool, and to be honest with you, it works. It gets people to pay attention.
All right, coming up next, I think we have to move on to the club.
I believe you are correct.
So unfortunate. I have true.
You want more sports?
No. Well, I mean, I could go either way. I love me some sports.
You love you some sports.
Big sports guy. By the way, Rams lead the Chiefs 13-7. But I do love me some club, too.
Yeah.
So, like I said, either way. But it's 6, which means we should probably move on to the club. I have Juliette Lewis news.
Ooh, okay.
And I have science has studied this, and it is official. Men with beards are more attractive. So you and I?
Really? Feeling pretty good about it. Your beard way better than my beard, though. So, you know, I'm still the lesser.
It's science.
Of the two.
And we'll have that for you.
I have wombat poop news.
Of course. Why would you not?
Well,
of course you do.
You said scientists have studied beards. Scientists have also studied wombat poop, and we have an answer now.
All right. Well, the club is next on The Fan.